open a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you. We always give you all the glory and all the honor. And right now we just acknowledge you. Lord, we just take this moment to bring ourselves to you. Lord, your word says that if we draw near to you, you'll draw near to us. And so, Father, that's all we want to do. We take this time just to draw near to you, Lord God, not thinking about anything that has happened, might have happened, not thinking of any circumstance, situation, not looking at who we are, looking at, but Lord, allow us to look at who we are in you, Lord. Allow us to look at ourselves how you see us. And so, Father, here within this morning, we love you. We praise you, Lord God. We know you're with us. We thank you for the time of worship. And we ask that you continue to have your way, Lord God. Bless this time in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone says, amen. Amen. Come on, can we give the Lord a good hand of praise? Amen. Praise the Lord. Remain seated, standing for a few moments. And as you remain standing, I'm going to make the most out of this time that I have right here. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 2. And as you remain standing, I'm going to read a scripture and then I'm going to go into it. As you turn there to 2 Kings chapter 2, I want to thank the Lord for my salvation. Been saved for over 10 years, but serving here faithfully. It's going to round up right around those 10 years. And here in Victory Outreach, here locally in Milwaukee, but also I want to make mention, if those of us that are here are also online, this is your first time, we're part of a worldwide movement. So we're all over the world. We're Victory Outreach International. As what they mentioned earlier, we have our young Bianca there in Amsterdam, halfway across the world. And so within that, I want to thank our founders, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, our worldwide ministry, that is because of their labor that you and I are here. I want to thank my beautiful wife just for remaining with me, being my true, I am able to say a back-to-back partner in this end-time movement. I also want to thank, I had an opportunity to run the Victory Homes for a few years, amen. So I'm just grateful. I want to thank the men that stood out that test of time there in our Victory Homes, amen. There's a lot that God has been doing within my life. But lastly, I want to just thank my pastor for giving me this opportunity. And it's an area that we don't take lightly when given to us, not just behind the pulpit, but just an opportunity to serve. So Pastor, I want to say thank you, amen. And also just the reign of family. How many love the reign of family here in our church? 2 Kings, let's read, and then we're going to have our seats. But 2 Kings chapter 2, it says, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha, I'm going to say that name a little bit differently so we won't get confused. Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal, and Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel. But Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went down together to Bethel. The group of prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and asked him, did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? Of course I know, Elisha answered, but be quiet about it. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. Somebody say, stay here. For the Lord has told me to go to Jericho. But Elisha replied again, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went on together to Jericho. Then the group of prophets from Jericho came to Elisha and asked him, did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? Somebody say today. I mean, you know, this is the day the Lord has made. There's a scripture that says today is the day of salvation. Of course I know, Elisha answered, but be quiet about it. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River. But again, Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went on together. 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The river divided, and the two of them went on across dry ground. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken away? And Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a double portion or a double share of your spirit and become your successor." Let's pray one more time. Father, we come before you one more time here this moment. Lord, I thank you for this time, this opportunity, and I ask for this a lot of time. Lord, open hearts. Father, I know that I'm ready, but I pray that those that are here be ready, Lord God, in spirit and truth. And I pray for that one person, an individual, that needs a word, a touch, just that confirmation, Lord God, a dedication, something from you, Lord. I pray for that one specific person, all of us that are here, those watching online. Lord, myself included, help me deliver this message properly, the theme of this message, but most of all, to bring them to you, Lord God, to know Christ. In the name of Jesus, we all say, amen. Give your neighbor a high five, tell him the title to my message, Behind the Scenes. The title to my message is Behind the Scenes. And I'm going to speak about briefly, really, of what happens in here in the church house. Somebody say church house. Also, what happens in our own lives. How many know there's a lot of things that happen in our own lives that the majority of us don't know about? Well, wave at me if you had to go through some things just to get to church. We already went through a couple of little trials and struggles just to get here. Whether it was getting to the car, little arguments here or there with the spouse and the children. Whatever it was, there's something that goes on behind the scenes. And so I know I shared earlier, but I've been saved for roughly, really, really saved. I was 34, so 12 years in salvation. But I count 10 years really serving here in the Lord. That's what I count because I believe that when I connected myself here to the church, and how many know the church is you and I, is the body of Christ. And so that being the church, we're not going to be perfect. And so if we're not going to be perfect, there's things that happen behind the scenes. And so a lot of times, and I want to share this message because there's a lot that's going on in our ministry, also here locally. I know Victory Outreach International, there's a 5-year window that our founder has given us. And within that 5-year window, I'm going to bring us up to par for those of us that are here locally or also watching online. And again, if this is your first time or you've came again or we're getting to be connected, I want to make mention that you're part of a worldwide ministry. And what's going on here locally, what's going on here in our very own church, how many know we don't have an average church, a normal church, but we have a unique church. And within that, there's a unique anointing. And I believe that the Lord really wants to do something special. And within that, it involves you and I. And how many know we're connected here and what God wants to do? Touch your neighbor, tell him you're connected. And so God wants to use you and I, as you may have came in. And again, those that are watching online, I firmly believe that none of us are here on accident. I really, really believe if you walk through the doors of Victory Outreach, that means God has a plan for your life. I believe God has a purpose for your life. I believe God has seen your ups and downs. I believe that God is able to use everything that you've gone through and use it for His honor and His glory. I came here when I was, I came to Victory Outreach when I was 22 years old. You can say I was lost and bound, but to me, my testimony is simple just because I was just bored of life. Is there anybody bored of life here this morning? I believe some of us, if we keep it real, we're bored of life and we're in Christianity. You've been serving the Lord and at times you still go through those phases. Somebody say amen. But I want to share this message because, again, I've been laboring, and I know coming around the corner, Berto let it out the bag, but soon enough, my wife and I, along with my children, the Lord opened a door through our pastor, and we're going to be sent off to Jacksonville just to help out the church with all that we can. To help out the church just to connect with what we've gone, but also for ourselves to grow, and then from then on, the plan is, however God wants to do it, a year from there, go to Orlando and continue the work there. And so within that, I know God gave me this theme, a title on Friday, and I was asked to share. So it fits because I'm going to go to this scripture and the story, but I also want to tie it into you and I. How many want to relate to the Bible? All right, so as we read the Bible, how many at times you have questions, you have trouble connecting it, you read and you say, well, I wasn't born back then, right? I wasn't slaughtering no ox. I don't go outside and harvest as Brother Jason picked up the offering. I don't go out and plant wheat and just wait for the harvest time. The times have changed. And so we have to ask ourselves, as the times have changed, how many know the Word of God never changes? There's a scripture, and I hold this scripture dear to my heart. Write this down, memorize it, and then come talk to me after you memorize it. It's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing joint and marrow, dividing soul and spirit, judging the thoughts and attitudes of the hearts. And so that's what the Word of God does. Then it goes on to say, nothing in all creation is hidden, but everything is laid bare upon him whom we must give an account. And so that's what the Word of God does. So as we spend time with the Lord, as we read God's Word, as we read the Bible, we have to ask ourselves, where do I fit in this? What does this have to do with me? When you read the Gospels and you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, it wasn't written to you and I first. That was written to a certain group of individuals in that time frame, because people were struggling to get to know Jesus. People were struggling to believe that he was the Messiah, that he was the living God. So it was written as in a certain manner towards that group of people. And so we have to ask ourselves, how does that now speak to you and I? And so I believe this little message, I want to talk about behind the scenes. And there's a lot that happens behind the scenes. How many can say a lot happens behind the scenes? Okay, praise God. I'm going to step off for a moment, then I'll come back to my notes. But I know I just want the Lord to share. Within that story, I'm going to just summarize that story so we can kind of get a gathering, and I'm going to go back to it. But keep in mind, really, my main purpose is just to share with you and I, as we're here within the church. First off, how many want to be connected to the church? Okay, that way I know the audience that I'm speaking to. I know those online, amen, just put on some emojis there and connect with us, and then we'll vibe together. But within this story, what I like and what I see is that this is the end of one person's ministry and the beginning of another. And so a lot of us, we may came in and we see things happening, and we may not know really the behind the scenes that has been happening. The behind the scenes that's been taking place day in and day out, year and year, year after year. And there's the other group of us. We've been here laboring, weekends, sacrificing, overtime, and just being here consistently. I remember there's been times when we would stay here and just stay from the starting of the day till midnight, till 2, 3, 4 in the morning, just getting things done in the church, going back, and then waking up just to do it all over again, to continue and push the move of God forward. And so within that, in this story of Scripture, you have two people really, the disciple and the discipler. And so the discipler now was going to move on. We have Elijah. And who Elijah was in that moment, he was a man of God. He did a lot of great things. He brought revival to the kingdom of Israel. He was able to deliver messages to the kings of Israel at that time. And then you have, we're going to call him Elisha, just to differentiate the names. Now, in this point in time, Elisha now was going to step into that role that God had for his life. And now this is vital, because some of us were here, and I have to let you know this, but there's a role that God has for your life. And that within that role, it's not easy. And so if you're here in the church house, there's something that God has for you. How many believe that? I know that we mentioned earlier, but Victory Outreach, we're not a normal ministry. Victory Outreach, we're all over the world. Victory Outreach, I know that we're a little radical. How many love Jesus here this morning? Amen. Right? How many have a testimony of what God has done within your life? Right? If I would call you up and give you the mic, how many would be able to go out and give a blast and just let somebody know? And you'll be able to, listen, I wasn't normal at one point. I wasn't the same person. But at one point, God stepped into my life. Is there anybody here this morning that you know that Jesus stepped into your life? And then we may have another group that you want to know Jesus. And you say, who is this person? I just got invited. I'm just here. My mother brought me along. My sister brought me along. I'm new to all this Christianity, church thing. What is Jesus all about? I've seen it. I've heard it. But within that, there's a process. But really, the process I want to focus in is just the behind the scenes. And that's what I'm going to labor on here this morning. So I'm going to talk about Elijah, but also Elisha. And what I want you to know is that within this moment, there was something that was going on in the life of the disciple named Elisha. He was about now to inherit the ministry. And here in Victory Outreach International, how many know there's a third wave movement that God wants to do here in the ministry? And within that third wave, it involves you. It involves all of us. It does. And then it also involves a certain age bracket. Where's my young adults at? And so the Lord is emphasizing young adults. Why? There's a lot of reasons. Amen. We should be empty for the most part. We should be wanting to be used of the Lord. We should be able to have energy and vigor and zeal. How many young adults still have energy? There's a lot of young adults that take too many naps. And then you're just, you know, running on too much caffeine and energy drinks. But that's a whole other Bible study. And so within this portion of Scripture, Elisha was getting ready to take over the mantle. And so what we don't see at times is that we may think, I'm ready. We may think, you know, the opposite, I'm not ready. We may think, well, I don't know what's happening. Or we may think, even within these moments, I don't know exactly who they are. I can't get connected. But what I want to let you know is that there's a lot that happened behind the scenes. And when you study this portion of Scripture, all that Elisha was known for, he wasn't known for mighty acts. He wasn't known for miracles at this time. He wasn't known for preaching the gospel at this time. He wasn't known for holding a good job at this time. He wasn't known for having a good education at this time. We don't even know how he dressed, what he looked like, what he drove, if he owned a house. We don't know none of these things. All we know about him at this moment is one scripture. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11. This is all we know of the man of God, Elisha, the servant. And this is his role, stepping into the ministry. It says, but King Jehoshaphat of Judah asked, is there no prophet of the Lord with us? If there is, can we ask the Lord what to do through him? One of King Joram's officers replied, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to be Elijah's personal assistant. And one translation says, he used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. So this is all that this man was known for at this moment. So I want to let you know that if you don't have a lot of things going on with you right now, it's okay. We all have somewhere to start. And so within this moment, we see where this man started. It wasn't elegant. It wasn't high and mighty. It wasn't something that others would even want to do. Who would want to be remembered where all he does is just pour water on this guy's hands? But a lot of us, we don't really know what happens behind the scenes. And so I'm here just to let you know that in Christianity, if you want to get used of God, you have to get used to knowing the behind the scenes. That in this walk with the Lord, if you want to experience what God has for your life, how many truly want to experience what the Lord has for your life? Then we have to be familiar with this area of behind the scenes. It happens everywhere. It happens at our job site. It happens at our houses. If I were to get personal and ask somebody, what really goes on in your house? What happened last night? Right? That's between you and the Lord. But it happens everywhere, but so much more in Christianity. But what I want to emphasize on is really that area of servanthood, the area of working, and really the area of giving ourselves over. So that my job, by the time this is over, my role is just to get you to walk a little bit closer to Jesus. To give you just a little understanding. I'm going to read a story here. I like this story. And it's going to give us a little insight of how things operate. It's going to give us a little insight of where you and I fit And at times when we see things not going the way we think they should go, I mean, you know, at times we may think, why isn't this going on a certain way? I would do things a certain manner. I don't agree with what's going on, right? Is there anybody that thinks like that here this morning? I know I'm not the only one. But I'm going to read this story, and it's interesting. I liked it. It's in my message. Little did I know I shared this story the very, very first Sunday service I shared years ago, probably 10 years ago. And so it's coming full circle, and the story goes like this. A spiritual leader I know had a large congregation. Everything seemed fine until one of his top staff members, one of his key assistants, decided he could do things better. Somebody say better. The assistant took more than 30% of the congregation and started his own work. Needless to say, it was a painful split. When this type of thing occurs, questions are asked. The armchair or the people usually ask, if only the leader had been more connected with his staff, this wouldn't have happened. Or if only the leader had developed a better relationship with his congregation, such a large percentage wouldn't have been susceptible to being pulled away. After the split, the leader maintained his work with part of the congregation that remained, and it was still a good-sized group. But the leader also decided to go ahead and pioneer a new work, another congregation in a different location. Like most new works, this one was small, very small, in fact. But the leader saw great potential in this fledging group. This time a split did not occur. It was worse. This time the leader lost his entire congregation. The leader later did some things that enabled him to recapture some of that lost congregation and rebuild it even larger. But the whole process was not without challenges and setbacks. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into rebuilding the process. The first leader had a close relative who also went into the ministry. He had a true shepherd's heart and was an excellent teacher. The Spirit's presence was with him in a remarkable way, and he got great results. However, he also faced challenges in his leadership. He had a lot of turnover. People came and went on a regular basis. He had retention problems. And on one occasion, there was a mass exodus from his congregation. This leader also had challenges with his staff. His top staff members didn't always get along. They were competitive and had periodic arguments among themselves. It was later discovered that he had a staff member who was actually involved in embezzling ministry funds. My God. This is a true story. He had another staff member who was known for being impulsive in both word and deed. This individual lost it one time under pressure and actually assaulted another person. That doesn't happen here, though. I know one person that knows the answer. Does anybody know where this actually happened? It's a true story. One person I know has the answer. I've shared it with him. The first story of the leader that lost his congregation is God in heaven. The devil took a third of his angels and split. And so he had to start over the work there in the garden with Adam and Eve. So that wasn't easy. And he had to continue. And so we see that the problem is not necessarily leadership. It's at times what we do with what's given to us. The second part, the second story, is actually Jesus in the ministry with his disciples. And so when we hear about Jesus, we think of signs and miracles and wonders, and we think of walking on water, and we think of, you know, preaching the message there in the Sermon on the Mount, on the boat, and all these things happen, but we don't really think of behind the scenes. We don't really at times think of him preaching and people just walking out of his service. It's in the Bible. You read it in John chapter 6, verse 65. It says, at this point, many disciples decided to turn away. And so we don't think of these moments. And it's true. Judas was the one that took the money. And if you read the story I was talking with my wife, when you read the Bible, there's certain things that fragments. There's a flow to it. And then there's a little story that's implemented, and it goes back to the story you were reading. And when you read about Judas going out to betray Jesus, it happens right after the woman with the alabaster flask decides to anoint Jesus, give all that she had just to present herself to the Lord. And at that moment, Judas decided to say, that's enough. You know, it's too much waste of money. He doesn't know what he's doing. and he decided to betray Jesus. And so that story depicts the ministry of Jesus. Because all this was true, the person that was assaulted was Peter. The last moment in the garden, he didn't finish too strong per se until the Holy Spirit came upon his life. But this is what happens behind the scenes. Now I'm going to speak about some areas that you and I can learn from the life of Elisha, and just to learn of what he did in this area of behind the scenes, how he continued in this ministry, and how he was able to not just continue, but to grow the ministry. How many want to grow the ministry here this morning? I believe, again, we're all here for a reason. I'm going to share this, and as I share this, I want you to truly see yourself and where you fit. I know that when I came, I was a young man. I was just lost, broken, no purpose, no direction, but I was bored of life. I had a job, I had finance, I had money, I had a car, I had an apartment. I had, you know, so-called friends. And I would work, go party, and that was it. And that was my life. 21, 22 years old, I was living in Chicago, traveling to Milwaukee, traveling to other cities and states just to work. You know, nothing could find satisfaction within my life. Have you ever found yourself, you try this and you try that. You go to a good movie, it satisfies you for a moment. Then afterwards, you're bored again. And so there's things within your life that will never bring true satisfaction. It wasn't until one person just invited me to Victory Outreach. It was an old friend. We used to party together. We partied so much. One time I knocked him over. I was pouring beer over him, and his mother was in the window just looking at what I was doing. He's the one that invited me to church. But one service is all it took. I got saved, God transformed my life, and I've never been the same ever since. But really, what directed me was just staying behind the scenes. Really, what changed my life was just staying behind the scenes. I remember, and I know I wanted to put this in there, but I was a young person. I believe I was 11, 12 years old, and we were playing basketball, my brother and I, just ourselves. And we were in Chicago. Well, I grew up in Chicago. We're playing basketball, just ourselves, just us two, just playing a simple game, one-on-one. And when we were young, we would play from morning up until all day. No water breaks. We would just play. And so as we were playing, then we just decided, okay, you know, we're going to call it a day, head back home. But where I lived, there was a certain gang rivalry, a certain gang affiliation. Right, so I'm not going to say who they were. All I'm going to say is they wore black and gold. That's, you know. And so when they were there, they were seeing us and we were playing. And so the person in the gang affiliation went up to us and he spoke to me and he says, hey, now you want to play with us? And so when they ask you, you know, when that happens, I'm going back a lot of years. When that happens, really, you can't say no. You know, you're almost obliged. Yeah, let's play, you know, whatever you want. In those times, in that era, time was way different, right? It wasn't just, they weren't being polite. It was just, you know. And I was young. I knew what they meant. But I said, no, it's cool, you know. I got to go. And so my brother, I remember him asking me and stepping in and just saying, hey, you can play, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can stay, we got time, you can play. We both knew and I said, no, I don't want to play. I don't want to get connected in that, you know, scenario. Let's just head out. So we left. Nothing ever happened, thank God. But I share that just because at that moment, really, I wasn't interested in what was going to happen if I got connected with, you know, that area. I was just looking at myself and who I was as that young person. And so why do I share that? There's times that within our lives, we can look at the outside appearance. We could look at maybe opportunities that we think we should have had. Or we think at moments that we think we should be connected with it within. But I'm just here to let you know that really God is always looking at your heart. And there's a lot more behind the scenes that happens in your life and through your life when no one is looking. When it's just you and yourself. That word character in the Greek, when you break it down, it just means to be written in stone. So it means what we do by ourselves, when no one looks, that's who we really are. And that's the character within our lives. That's the character that Elisha had, that was able to carry him through, that he was able to see behind the scenes, that allowed him to get connected, that allowed him to grow, that allowed him to do what he did. And I'm just here to let you know this morning that what the Lord wants to do within your life, that listen, you're not just here on accident. You're not just here to hear another message, to go through another service. But I'm here to let you know that if you are here, if you showed up, if you're watching online, then listen, that God wants to use your life in a mighty and a powerful way, that God has a plan for your life, that God is able to rescue. And here this morning, I want to let you know, it doesn't matter if you understand at times or not, if you read the Bible right now or you don't. What matters is that you've been called of God. What matters is that God loves you so much. What matters is that you're now in the process, and all you have to do is continue that work that really is behind the scenes. Because that's where everything takes place. I'm going to share a few things, and then we'll close up. But the first one that Elisha did that allowed him to go forward in this area, in the ministry behind the scenes, the first one was he was determined to follow to the end. He was determined to follow to the end. Now let me camp out on that one for a little bit. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. I'm going to share on that one. And this is one that I'm really big on, because I believe, first of all, okay, how many love Jesus? Praise God. I said, how many love Jesus? Okay, and this is one that truly matters, because listen, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to get to know Jesus by the end of this service. We're going to make an altar call, and you're going to be presented an opportunity just to spend some few moments alone. And at that altar call, if you decide to come and just step forward, all you're really doing is, for the first time, you're just asking the Lord, you're just talking to Jesus, that's it. How many love talking to Jesus? And so what Elisha did is, from the very, very beginning, he decided to follow to the end. And I want to camp on this one, because I believe there's a misconception in Christianity. And so what's the misconception? The misconception is that I could come and I could leave. I could show up and then, you know, I'll put my time and I'll go back home, just do business as usual, and then maybe I'll show up later. And so granted, we all go through those moments. But it wasn't so in the life of Elisha. It wasn't like that. Why wasn't it like that? Because as I mentioned earlier, all he was known for was being a servant of his disciple, pouring water on Elisha's hands. That's all he was known for. And when you study that, he did that for 20 years. So for 20 years of his life, he's seen his disciple go through it. He's seen his disciple in a prayer closet. He's seen his disciple at times abandoned. Is there anybody here that when you spend those one-on-one times, you truly get to know an individual? There's no greater moments than knowing somebody than when it's just the two of them. And not just eating, right? Not just fellowshipping and food. Those moments are good. But the moments when you're one-on-one. And he learned firsthand, because for 20 years of his life, you got to think, within this portion of Scripture, Elijah wasn't a very popular man. Okay, so when we come to the things of the Lord and people don't start liking you, you just got to get used to it. It happens. Not that many people liked Elijah. As a matter of fact, the king even sent somebody to chase him down, and he actually had a wanted list on his life for preaching the gospel. And so you had the servant, Elisha, and he's seen him through all these things. So because he's seen him through all these things, he was able to understand how to respond when his time came. See, that's the importance here in our ministry, in Victory Outreach, you know, international, at large, but also in Christianity, is that area of discipleship. And in the area of discipleship, that's what happens behind the scenes. Right? Can I tell you here this morning, I've learned a lot of behind the scenes of just being next to my pastor. I've learned a lot of behind the scenes of just going on car rides with my pastor. I've learned a lot of behind the scenes of not saying no to my pastor. When I've been tired, when I've been weary, I was offered the opportunity, hey man, let's go, pastor. And that's where I would learn the most. Because I understood the assignment, and I knew from the very beginning, if I say yes, I'm going to say to the end. Now, I have to say that because I understand at times we're learning and we're growing, and we can ask ourselves, well, what is it? Some of us, we might get scared away and say, man, I got to do this for life. But I want to let you know, I'd rather do this for life than what I was doing before. I'd rather serve the Lord here this morning. I'd rather continue in this process. And listen, I've been, no greater joy has happened within my life. There's been no greater moments within my, I'd rather do this for life than where I was before. And so Elisha understood the assignment, and from the very beginning, he said, I'm doing this for life. He's seen his disciple do it, and so he had no other option. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, it says, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold, and we see that. But then it goes on to say, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Somebody say, to the end. See, it wasn't a one-time process. When Jesus called his disciples, he didn't call them and he said, hey, come hang out with me. And then when you're bored, you can take off. His disciples understood the assignment. And even at those moments, they understood that at that present moment when the teacher called you, it was calling you for life. It was calling you into the ministry. The misconception that we have nowadays is that church is just a church event, that it's just a moment. That it's just Sunday service and then I'll head back. And so at times we don't understand, and so we don't receive, whether it's the calling of God, we don't receive the favor of God. How many want the favor of God here this morning? I don't care where I pray, I say, God, I need your favor upon my life. I forgot, I think I was working with somebody the other day, and we were in a basement. I install carpets for a living, praise God, so that way you guys can know what I'm doing. And so at work, we went to install carpets in a lake house. And so this house was built on the edge of the lake. The lake was your backyard. But to get to the house, we had to walk down the steps, go all the way around, come into the back, and then, you know, go to the basement. And so that morning, it was raining. From the get-go, it was Friday. So the whole time, it was raining. And so for us to get in, I had to figure out, okay, I can't track mud all over this place. There's grass everywhere. You know, we got to bring everything in one lump, so when the rain dies down, we'll go out and get the new material. So I had this person and said, hey, you do the first runs for right now, you know, just cover yourself up. And so it's raining the whole time. By the time it came to bring in the new material, the carpet, believe it or not, you could ask this person, I stepped outside, the Lord is my witness, I stepped outside, I opened the door, and the rain stopped. So I started looking, and I said, okay, this is our moment, right? So we went out, we got the car, brought it all the way in, brought everything in, and I said, quick, just finish everything on, bring everything in that we need. The moment we brought everything in, closed the doors, the rain picked up again. Back to normal. But to me, I don't think of it as nothing. I'm just serving the Lord. To that individual, he knew, like, my God, you know, every time he would go, it's rain, you know. But the moment we needed it to stop, it stopped. How many of you know God wants to move within all our lives like that? God wants to be able to give that same response to all of us. Do we not think that certain prayers God doesn't want to answer? Right, I guess let me camp out on this one, but how many of us are praying those prayers? Are there any that you're praying for a believing family member? Right, are we praying for family members? And so the more you pray, the more you receive the heart of God. And the more you receive the heart of God, the more you're able to understand. And as you're praying, all you're saying, God is going to answer my prayer. And as you're praying, all you're knowing is that when you get asked to get involved, you're saying, I'm going to get involved. Why? This is where God's going to use me. And what you're doing is, as I'm getting connected, somehow or another, God's going to open a door for that family member to be saved. And as you're giving, all you're saying is, I'm believing and trusting that God's using his finances for his glory and his honor. Because how many know, at one point or another, we give our finances to way more many things that shouldn't belong, didn't even affect it, didn't even prosper us. But here this morning, we have an opportunity to be a blessing to the house of God, to be a blessing to others, to be involved. There's a pledge that we still have to fulfill that the more of us get connected, the more we're able to see the church grow. And as we see the church grow, I mean, I don't know about you, but I still want to see this church get filled. I get excited just thinking about seeing more people saved. I get excited just seeing more family members come in. I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to see what God is able to do in Victory Outreach Milwaukee. I believe that God is going to raise up more people. Come on, is there anybody here that you believe that God is going to do signs and wonders here in the house? But it involves staying here to the end. Touch your neighbor, tell him you're staying to the end. I want to stay to the end, but you know, my time has come. We're still staying to the end, just in another Victory Outreach family. And so what we see in the life of Elisha is that he had, and this is one that we all need, he had a life of consistency. We need consistency within our lives if we are determined to follow to the end. Let me know, consistency is always needed. We all have consistency. Ask me how. We all have a job, or at least for the most part. And so we know how to show up on time. We all know how to smile to the boss because we have to, even though we don't like the boss, right? Certain people, some may say amen. That's right. And so we have areas of consistency. And all we have to do is bring that to the church house, to the family of God. The second thing that Elisha did, and I'm going to share on, is there was too much on the line for him to go back. And see, this is why at times it's easy, and I want you to capture this and think about this, and I want us to ask ourselves, where do I fit in this area? I really want us to ask ourselves, because I'm targeting a specific audience. I'm targeting those that are here that if you said, you know what, I'm tired of normal life. I'm tired of just average. I'm tired of just being bored of doing the same old thing and not seeing, not just different results, but just staying in the norm, just being routine. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was just bored of the normal day in and day out. And even sometimes if I'm in Christianity, if I'm in the things of the Lord and things are happening and I see myself getting stuck in that routine, I step out and I say, this is not going to be the same. I don't like the same, I don't like normal average routine. I have to break out of that. Why? Because there's too much on the line for me to go back. There's too much on the line. There's too much at stake now not to continue and push forward. I mean, you know, there's too much that God has done within your life that he's not going to leave you hanging. Is there anybody that believes you this morning that because of what God has done within your life, he's going to be able to rescue you? I don't know what's been going on within your mind, but I'm here to let you know this morning that there is no enemy, there is no sin, no devil can stop. Nothing ever can stop the blessing of God upon your life. Why? Because there's a price that was paid at the cross. There was a price that was paid at Calvary, and that's why Jesus is consistently calling our lives. And so you and I have to know that there's already been a price that was paid. And so then you and I should be determined to follow. And at times it's easy to step back. Why? We put nothing in. So it's easy to step out and say, okay, I'm out. I don't have to continue to keep coming. Why? We never really put nothing on the line. We never really gave. We never really got into prayer. We never understood the Bible. We never got connected to our leaders, right? And so in those moments, it's we're in and we're out and we're in and we're out. I know this is a different type of message, but praise God. And I want to just share here this morning that within my life, personally, there's too much at stake in my life to go back. It's hard to leave when you invested so much. What have we invested in lately? And here we see it was 20 years in the ministry. Within my life, I know personally God has done so much. Again, I came when I was a young man, 22, here in Milwaukee, 24 years old. At 24 years old, I didn't have that much going for me. I knew how to hold a job. You know how many know how to get a job? Praise God, we can all do that. But what the Lord did for me is he not only brought me a marriage, he entrusted me with ministry. And even in ministry, he brought me lifelong partners in ministry. And even in that, he brought me a spiritual father, a spiritual mother. But even in that, he continued just to work more in and through my life. I have two beautiful children, and every time I look at them, I always get the word doesn't fit, but I always have to remember that they're not just regular children, they're PKs. I forget I'm a pastor sometimes. So I got to look at them and say, my God, I got two little, you know, pastor's kid running around right now. But that came of what the Lord has brought in the investment that I've made upon the life. And so now I see, okay, now it's beginning to flow out. I remember when my wife and I had the opportunity to run our victory homes. And we did that for years. And all the lives that we poured into, all the lives we've invested into. And we went through our own personal struggles, our heartaches, whether people came and gone. But that's something that we've invested to. That's something that no matter what happens, no one can take away. And there's many more things, but here this morning, the question is, what are we investing our lives into? Because when we don't invest our lives into, it's easy to draw back. It's easy to just say, okay, well, I don't belong. The challenge is to get connected. Right? Am I talking to the right church here this morning? The last thing that he did, and this is last thing I'm going to share on, and then we'll close out, is there was nothing behind him, but everything before him. I'm going to share a few things, and then we'll close out. But we have to remember how he started. In other words, he didn't leave himself a plan B. There was nothing before him, but everything, or there was nothing behind him, but everything before him. There's a few scriptures I want to give you guys. But what I want to share here this morning, and what I believe is of value, is that within the life of Elisha, again, what he did and what allowed him to see behind the scenes is as he saw his time coming, he knew that from that point on, if he wanted to continue with the Lord, everything he did had to be in front of him. Everything he did had to go before him. So in other words, everything behind didn't matter anymore. And so what does that mean for you and I? Where we find ourselves here this morning? Listen, I'm here to let you know that at times, yes, it may be hard starting over again. It may be hard not understanding at times, taking another step forward. There's a scripture that reads, though a righteous man falls seven times, he gets up again. Because he knows his opportunity is only to go forward. And I believe that too many times we struggle and we don't go forward and we don't answer the calling of God. We don't understand the calling of God, though we have the giftings, the talents. Now, I'm here to let you know that I know this is a fact. There's way more many people in this room that are more gifted than me, more talented than me, that have more way more skills than me. The only thing that separates us is, are we moving forward in the plan of God? The only thing that separates us is, are we saying yes to what God has for my life? And at this point, Elisha understood, listen, I've invested way too much. At this point, I see what's coming forward. I know it's not going to be easy. I know at times I'm not going to understand. I know at times it's going to be hard, but everything is behind me now. There is no point in turning back around and trying to chase a life that never worked, trying to chase a life that only brought me trouble, only brought me heartache, trying to chase a life that at one point or another I thought would work, but it never did. That's why I'm here. That's why I find myself at church here this morning. That's why I find myself in Victory Outreach. That's why I find myself here in the gospel. Because listen, it's an opportunity for your life to go forward. And that's my biggest thing. Even when you're walking in the things of the Lord, you still have to continue to move forward. One of my favorite scriptures, and I always say this, is that when Paul wrote, forgetting the things that are behind me, pressing on, I strive ahead towards what is ahead of me. But he wrote that after he had laid down so many churches, after he had discipled hundreds of people, then he wrote down, it's not about all that I've done, it's still about all that's left to be done. And listen, here this morning, I'm here to let you know that though my wife and I, we may be at another place, God is still wanting to do so many more things here in Victory Outreach Milwaukee. I want to come back and see more men raised up. I want to see more graduates raised up. I want to see the gang about to explode here in the house. I want to see more life groups raised up. Why? Because there's so much more ahead of us. Man, is there anybody here this morning that you believe that God has something within your life? That you believe that from now on, I'm called to walk forward. That's an area that's for all, myself included. He didn't leave himself a plan B. If you have a plan B, I'm here to let you know, just throw it out the window right now. Just crumple it up. Throw it out the window. Right? Someone once shared, and this is a story that comes to mind, but someone once shared, my daughter's getting pretty good. She's coloring, you know. She got it from me. I mean, you know, I used to be an artist, but she colors really good. But anyways, you ever seen like a child draw something and they put their heart into it, right? And they think it's the best thing ever. They show it to you and you ask them, wow, what is this supposed to be? And when they tell you, you're like, my God, you know, it looks nothing like it. But you're like, yeah, you know, yeah, good job, you know. What are you going to tell them? That's the same scenario when we're trying to bring our plans to the Lord. We draw up and scribble these little plans. We go outside the lines. We can't even color, and we bring it up to God, you know. And then we ask God to bless it on top of it. When the Lord is saying, that's not my plans for you. That's not what I have. My plans are so much greater, the Bible says. I have plans to prosper you, plans for a hope and a future. If you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And that's all that Elisha did. He saw the man of God before him, and he followed every single step of the way. Listen, I'm here to let you know this morning, if you need to follow somebody, you need to grab yourself a disciple, or you need to say, man, from this moment forward, I'm following this person, I'm following this man of God, a woman of God, and I'm going to stick right beside him. It's interesting to me that, but I didn't want to get into more that area, that three times. He said, hey, man, you know, you got to stay behind. Three times. How many times did Peter deny Jesus, right? It was three times. How many times did Jesus have to reinstate Peter? It was three times. And Jesus had to continuously show him, hey, it's not about you, Peter. He said, I came to give you the grace you needed. At the end, Jesus came full circle. And even though he was denied and crucified, then he also went through that process. Saying, you're not going to do this on your own. Elisha understood that. That's why he said, I need a double portion. When you study that, really the double portion only goes to the firstborn son. Shouldn't have gone to him. Should have went to someone else. That's why he said, what you're asking is a hard thing. So when Jesus comes into the picture, he's still asking for you and I on the same area. He's still asking for you and I that nothing is behind us, but everything is before us. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. And as the worship team makes their way, it says, but Jesus told them, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. These are scriptures really that speak to us. Such scriptures that talk to me personally. And I have a question that says, what have we put on the line for God? And what have we put on the line that's not already His? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, I love this portion of Scripture. For what gives you the right to make such judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? In other words, he's saying everything that we have already is from the Lord. And listen, I understood this in my salvation, so at times it was easy for me to give up things to the Lord. And I believe at times it's hard and we struggle because we think it's ours. I know my wife, we get into some little debates and arguments. We talk about our children. I know God gave me a promise that Genesis is going to go to the training center. And she's going to go to the one in Chicago because she's going to find out our roots, where we came from, how we grew up. my salvation. That's my promise from the Lord. And so I look at her at times. I look at my son. I look at them and I say, man, you don't even belong to me. You know, you're not mine. And so my wife, we talk at times. And she said, well, we get to decide nothing. You know, they're not ours. I mean, we read it from the Bible. This is for all of us. It says, what gives you the right to make such judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? In other words, everything that we have is from the Lord. Everything. There's a lot of scriptures on this, but let me move on. Mark chapter 1, verse 17, it says, Jesus called out to them, come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. Afterwards, Jesus went up on a mountain and called out the ones he had wanted to go with him, and they came to him. And lastly, John chapter 21, verse 22. Jesus replied, if I wanted to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. So we all stand. These are the words that Jesus gave his disciples. He gave them in the beginning and he still gave them at the end. He didn't change anything. He left it all the same. And in the course of his life, his disciples had an opportunity to see him behind the scenes. Why do you think at times the disciples knew him the best? When the crowds would want to see, where is Jesus? He was just here. He came to the, we heard he healed somebody. We want more healing. His disciples would know where to find Jesus. They knew this is his prayer time. They knew at times he's by himself. They knew at times what he needed. There were times where they didn't know because the Lord didn't reveal everything. But they understood because they saw behind the scenes and day in and day out. Listen, I believe they saw Jesus so close. And it's that little factor that allowed them to press in and go forward, to answer the call, to say, man, if he went through all this. So at times within our own lives, there's things that we need to understand. And that's why it matters that we all get connected. Just all over this place right there where you're at, close your eyes and bow your heads. And as they begin to sing, I want you just to keep your focus on where we're at here this morning.